Brunch is back, ladies and gentlemen, and Yelp Guest Manager is here to help the Sunday Funday crowd find your restaurant. Yelp Guest Manager is the no-fee way to fill your tables, so prepare to spend less. But you're also getting a whole lot more. We're plugging your restaurant into the biggest consumer network in the U.S., creating massive awareness with the folks looking to book now. Sign up for Yelp Guest Manager today to get delayed billing for 60 days to start the brunch season off right. Go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to grow your restaurant, not your expenses. Terms apply. Now here we go.
I think the biggest thing that we did is we stuck to our guns. We really had a great vision. We really worked hard on that vision and that execution of the vision. You know, an idea is only as good as your ability to execute it. And I think we executed our vision flawlessly. We went for this home run and fortunately we hit one.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back, and we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. As a business owner, we're all making strategic bets on the future, trying to create something people will love today while maintaining relevance in the future. Candidly, there aren't many of us making bigger bets than Justin Amick. Justin is betting big on eatertainment, pioneering it in his own market with his eyes set on national domination. Today, we discuss what it takes to open a 30,000 square foot concept and the strategies he's used to pack the house.
I'm a second generation restaurateur and grew up in a restaurant family. So as a child, you don't really understand what that job entails that ultimately I'm performing myself now as an adult with my own kids. But back in the day, I honestly just probably thought he worked in restaurants. My kids think I work in bowling alleys and pickleball entertainment venues. And it's funny, I just remember as a child going and eating out very frequently at many of his different restaurants every night, more just for his own quality control check and whatnot. And it definitely didn't comprehend the business side of what he did, but just as a child, just thought he worked at different restaurants. So,
what did that look like? So I had sold my restaurants before my daughter was 2. So she never really got to experience me like screaming into pillows late at night. Right. What was your experience with your dad like? Did it seem like it was high stress? What about what he did attracted you to the industry?
Oh, man. Nothing about what I saw or what he did as a child did it make me think that I wanted to follow in his footsteps. As you know, you don't wish upon the restaurant industry for anybody. You truly have to love it. And it's got to be in your bloodline, which it obviously was. I just remember him being, he worked a lot of evenings. He was always traveling. He worked all on the weekends and on the holidays, you know, all the things that I've done throughout my career as well. But just, he was not an absent father by any means. He just worked extremely hard and very long days and evenings. As you know, there's no time to ever kind of take off in this industry. You're only as good as the team around you, and you got to lead that ship every single day in order to continue to be sustainable in this industry. So I wouldn't say there was anything that I witnessed that drew me to that. We can talk about that here down the road in terms of how I fell into it. But that was kind of just my perception, is that he worked all the time, day, night, evening, weekends. And I knew he was making his rounds and checking on all those different restaurants each and every day and evening. So
how did you fall into it?
It's funny, it kind of came about organically. My goal as a child was to be a professional basketball player until I realized my gene pool wasn't really fit for that. Yeah, I took it as far as I could. Yeah, I played college basketball at Tulane University in New Orleans, which I credit New Orleans kind of being that great F&B hospitality German town that it is, that really kind of brought out kind of my blood and passion for what ultimately, I guess, what I was meant to do, which was to follow my father's footsteps in the restaurant sector. So I went down there on a full basketball scholarship, but just kind of fell in love with the food and beverage and hospitality scene and the culture of that industry while living in New Orleans for 4 years. And still wasn't sure after I graduated from Tulane, just as a business and management major, still wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do, but definitely had really had like more of a personal passion for going out to eat and checking all the different restaurants and, into craft cocktails and wines and whatnot. And yeah, I moved up to New York City with my friends and my now wife. We were still dating at the time. And I was working on an advertising job on Wall Street. And it took me about 3 months to realize that I was not made to be sitting at a desk in a corporate sort of job. And I remember calling my father and I was like, get me out of here. I want to try my hands at what you've done your whole career. I feel like I really, was passionate about food and beverage. I played the ultimate team sport in basketball. And in my opinion, the restaurant industry is the quintessential team-oriented industry. I think athletes do very well in this industry just with working on a team and confidence and leadership. I was a point guard. So all of those things were there. I was indirectly exposed to the restaurant industry my entire life. And I just thought that was something that finally sounded interesting to me. So we called Tom Colicchio because I was living in New York City, the great James Beard award-winning chef. And at the time, he owned Gramercy Tavern and he had just opened Kraft Restaurant, where he won the James Beard Award for the best new restaurant in the United States. And my father wanted me to learn if I really wanted to take this plunge into the industry to learn from somebody else besides himself. So Tom was very gracious after meeting with me and kind of seeing my personality and my passion to kind of want to learn anything and everything about this industry. He hired me into his management training program at Kraft Restaurant Group. And I kind of just dove right in there with him and worked any and every position that you can think of is kind of how I kind of entered the industry officially.
And how did you rise through the ranks? Because you worked for Tom, but then ultimately you ended up with your father before striking out on your own, right?
That's right. Yeah, with Tom, I worked there at Kraft Restaurant Group. I was at, Kraft and Kraft Bar and all of his many different great restaurants at that time, and kind of started as a reservationist. And then I worked in the kitchen and the dish pit and as a prep cook, and then as a maitre d' and a host, and then as a food runner and a server assistant, then as a front waiter and a captain, and then a bartender. This was all like kind of part of the management training program, just the same way that I train my own managers today. Just you have to have the empathy to know what it takes to operate every single moving part within this industry. And that's where I really cut my teeth with Tom there. Yeah, after going through about 3 years with his company, my father wanted me to learn more about the integral beverage side of the restaurant industry, which was the wine business. So I moved out to the Napa Valley with my still at the time girlfriend from college. We ended up getting engaged that year out in Napa, but she was a food and beverage publicist for Bullfrog and Baum and Jennifer Baum, one of the best kind of food and beverage publicists in New York City. And so she came out there with me and she kind of moved more into wine PR. And I went and shadowed the winemaking team for Trinchera Family Estates, one of the largest winery owners in the United States, and shadowed their winemaking team for about a year and a half and worked there for the full kind of growing season all the way through harvest and bottling the following year. So just gave me really great hands-on experience, really learning everything there is to know about wine, which is where I ultimately became very passionate about the beverage and wine side of things. Eventually, I sat for years down the road, the Court of Master Sommeliers, the Master Sommelier exam. I got the highest score in the United States on the advanced sommelier exam and got the Rudd Scholarship. And I sat for the Master Sommelier exam one time before I ultimately ended up starting my own company, Painted Hospitality. This was years after I worked for my father and his company, Concentrix Restaurants Group. After I returned from my time on the West Coast, I worked. It's funny, I spent all this time learning from other people and kind of cutting my teeth. And my father still, I pride him on, I would do the same thing to my kids. He's not a believer in nepotism or anything like that. he still, after all my time and experience working in some of the greatest restaurants in New York City and really cut my teeth in the beverage industry on the West Coast, he still made me come back. And I started in his company as an assistant manager at one of his properties, Two Urban Licks. Then he moved me over to open one of his new restaurants that was called Parrish Foods and Goods in 2008 and opened that as an assistant manager. And then finally, eventually, like years into it, finally became the general manager of one of his properties and was promoted there at Parrish Foods and Goods before ultimately being the general manager of many of his other properties down the road and overseeing his corporate beverage programs and wine programs throughout our own business and his consulting arm. But before I did that, that was the last steps before I ultimately decided that it was time for me to go off on my own. And instead of doing all these things that I was kind of helping the family business and his company, wanted to do something on my own and started my own company, which was Painted Hospitality in 2014. So,
and what was the idea behind Painted Hospitality? I know this sounds super cheesy, but every entrepreneur has their own song to sing, right? They have their own vision of this world that has yet to exist. That's why we build things.
That's right.
What did you see that was missing in the market when you created Painted Hospitality? What was the gift you were trying to give to the market?
It's kind of was a culmination of all my different life experiences led me to that point. I was working, operating a restaurant with the celebrity chef, you know, great chef Richard Blaze. I just opened a restaurant with him and my father called The Spence, which I thought was one of the greatest restaurants Atlanta had seen. We were kind of a little bit ahead of our time there. And this was, I think, 2012, when I was starting to think more about what I personally loved. Like I said, I played college basketball. I'm one of those people that I do not like to lose at anything. I'm overly competitive at anything that I do. If I'm going to do it, I want to try to win. I love competitive games and hobbies and things that you can kind of gather with friends, family, coworkers, et cetera. You know, my beverage passion with the wine side of things that I kind of got from living out in the West Coast in the Napa Valley and then kind of pursuing my wine accreditations and going through the Quartermaster Sommeliers and the Society of Wine Educators and all of the different accreditations that I was going through kind of as I was cutting my teeth in this industry all led me to that place where I am now, which was the birth of Painted Hospitality. Was I was seeing that there was a lack of alternative forms of entertainment. I was tired of the traditional, the monotony of what was considered the traditional brick and mortar restaurant or bar. And in Atlanta at the time, this was the Painted Pin, which is our first concept in 2014. There just was nothing to do besides just go eat at a traditional restaurant, go to a traditional bar, or recreational activities were kind of more the basic run of the mill, go to the movies, a traditional movie theater, or go to a regular bowling alley. There just wasn't anything to do for the kind of young professionals and adults. I was around 30 years old at the time. And we ultimately came up with the Painted Pin. You know, I had signed a lease on a place that I was going to call the Whiskey Pig. And then this was going to be my first solo venture away from my family's business. And it essentially was kind of exactly what I ended up opening with the Painted Pin. It was, it had a gaming element with like every kind of bar and pub game that you could imagine. It had a food and beverage component that was centered around wood-fired cooking and kind of barbecue at the time was my vision. And there was like live music and blues and great cocktails and wine and beer programs. And I was about to, I'd signed this lease for this concept, the Whiskey Pig at the time, and I was about to start working on getting that project to fruition and opening when I got a call from my now business partner, who at the time was someone that was a friend of my wife's that went to boarding school with her. And he actually was in the life insurance business. His experience couldn't be further from what I did in terms of growing up in the restaurant industry and working for the family business. And I think he had heard that I was going off on my own and was opening the Whiskey Pig. And he called out of the blue, this guy that sold me life insurance and was like, randomly just called and was like, what do you think of like a bowling alley? And I'm like, wow, I've always been a big fan of bowling. I love games, all this stuff. It was kind of the missing piece of what I was working on with the Whiskey Pig. It was kind of like everything. I felt like, yes, the Whiskey Pig was going to be successful in its own right. But I felt like when I heard the words bowling, I just knew it instantly that I was like, God, there's something there. There was nothing like the Painted Pen in Atlanta or anywhere at the time that I had seen. You know, Lucky Strike was kind of the only boutique bowling alley that I'd ever kind of heard of before. There wasn't one in Atlanta, but that was like the one that was in existence in the marketplace. And immediately we talked for hours that night about this idea. We kind of combined what I was doing with the Whiskey Pig and combined this bowling element, which was kind of the missing X factor piece. And I exited out of that lease and we started immediately working on the Painted Pen, which eventually we opened in 2014, which we called an upscale boutique bar, bowling, and entertainment venue. And that was kind of our first concept and where it all started. But I just feel like it was all of my many different things that I've kind of gone through in my life that kind of led me to that point. And I feel like I'm exactly where I need to be. I love what I do. We're a very niche part of the F&B sector. Entertainment is like a new kind of category, but we got into this over a decade ago and we feel like we're some of the best operators in this niche part of the industry, not only in our own kind of regional area of the Southeast, but we've seen all of the different kind of iterations of the entertainment concepts out there. And we feel like we really do a great job of blending great food and beverage with alternative forms of entertainment, whether it's gaming or bowling or our new concept, which we can talk about with pickleball. We build with beautiful aesthetics and build outs, and we've got a winning formula that we're going to continue to run with. So
let's talk about leveraged risk. So if we go back to the genesis of the bowling concept, it was very new. Back 2012, 2013, nobody was talking about experiential dining or entertainment. So much of this was born out of the pandemic. So you were early.
That's right.
Which can make you a front runner and a leader in some sectors of the industry, or it can make you a colossal failure. And
right,
whenever you're trying to do something new and different, usually it's a binary situation, right? Either you are a genius and a visionary, or you're an idiot, and time will tell. Right?
Yes, so true.
I was born and raised in Baton Rouge, and I opened a bar on Hollywood Boulevard. It was this beautiful New Orleans concept. The idea was that it wasn't a New Orleans theme bar, but that I actually dropped a bar from New Orleans onto Hollywood Boulevard. And I thought it was brilliant. And my business partner asked me 3 months before we opened, he goes, why hasn't anyone done this before? And I said, well, it's either because I'm a genius and I thought it up, or because I'm an idiot and everyone else did more due diligence than we did. And this thing is going to be a massive failure. Because it's going to be one or the other. It was very, very different. It was a dive bar surrounded by big nightclubs during a period when big nightclubs were the thing to own. And so we had done a bunch in preparation to make sure that if it didn't work, we'd be able to pivot. And so I'm wondering for you, in trying something new with all of the experience that you had, paired with all of the experience that your father and your family had, how did you make sure that this was going to be a success?
I just feel like it was meant to be. I just feel like all of those different life experiences made me prepared for that moment. And although going out and opening anything in this sector, as you know, is a major risk, right? But for our first solo project to go off on my own with my business partner who had zero experience in the food and beverage sector, and we went for the grand slam, right? This was a 24,000 square foot first solo venture, right? There had never really been, like you said, we were early in the lifespan of what people consider entertainment today. This was over a decade ago when we opened the Painted Pen, and we were ahead of our time. We hadn't studied other models or used other concepts as motivation or inspiration. It really came genuinely out of our own. It was our own kind of brainchild and what we thought was missing, and how all of those, the synergies between food and beverage and aesthetic and design and layout and your build out, and how all those things kind of flow off each other and how they could be successful. And it was also a lot of like what I didn't like about the restaurant industry as I knew it from the traditional way that people booked and utilized restaurants. I kind of removed a lot of those things that I didn't like about the traditional restaurant industry and kind of brought together this different kind of ethos for our first venture, the Painted Pen, and then subsequently after the Painted Duck, and then our future concepts that we're about to open this year. But I think the biggest thing that we did is we stuck to our guns. We really had a great vision. We really worked hard on that vision and that execution of the vision. You know, an idea is only as good as your ability to execute it. And I think we executed our vision flawlessly. We went for this home run, and fortunately, we hit one. Like you said, in this industry, you either have that great idea and you're able to execute it and you look like a genius and you get to see the fruits of your labor come to fruition, or you are the exact opposite of it and you fall completely on your face and no one comes and no one understands the vision or gets it. The restaurant industry, unfortunately, it's such a compromising industry because you have to have the great idea and vision. You have to execute it, but you also need alignment from your demographic base and your customer base so that they're perceiving your vision the same way that they want to utilize it, right? And a lot of times there's a lot of give and take in terms of what you envisioned your concept to be and what it ultimately ends up being. Luckily for us, we drove our vision and we trained and set the expectation for our guests in terms of how we wanted our vision to be perceived and utilized and enjoyed. And luckily those things were aligned and we were very successful on that. We found this kind of winning formula that we really like and that we want to stay in this kind of niche part of the business. But I think it was, you know, we were prepared. We had a great idea, even better. We had a great vision, and even better than that, we executed on our vision. And luckily for us, the market was very excited about what we put forward. And we feel very fortunate because I know being in this industry my whole life, it's very hard to be successful in this business. And I was fortunate to watch my father be one of the most successful restaurateurs that I know. He's opened over 100 different restaurants throughout his career. But for us, we feel really good. We've hit kind of two grand slams with the Painted Pen and its sister kind of spinoff concept, the Painted Duck. And we think we're about to hit two more grand slams with our opening of Painted Pickle here in the next 3 or 4 weeks. We've got a new Beltline kind of nightlife concept called Painted Park that'll open in Inman Park on the busiest stretch of the Atlanta Beltline later this spring. We're very excited about our upcoming openings this year.
As it relates to the two new locations opening, these are massive projects.
Massive.
Massive. I mean, insane. To call them restaurant concepts is so unfair to the actual scale of each individual project. To do them both and to do them simultaneously is a massive undertaking, I am sure. What inspired that? And what led you to believe? I mean, obviously, we all have a bias towards success, right? Entrepreneurs do generally, but like you do one thing and it works, you do something else and it works. So the assumption is that the third thing's going to work too. But to have two huge projects on the horizon, how did you reconcile doing them the way that you're doing them? And then how are you ensuring that they'll be successful?
Yeah, no, great question. Yeah, definitely was not intentional to open up these concepts kind of back to back simultaneously. The pandemic really messed up the timing of our growth strategy. It's funny, the Painted Pickle is our high-end pickleball competery gaming and entertainment venue, trademarked and coined the term competery, which is a place to compete, eat, drink, and be social. So you often hear a lot of people refer to our niche part of the restaurant and bar industry as eatertainment. We wanted our own term to epitomize not only all of our concepts, but specifically this pickleball entertainment concept that we're about to open. That is the ethos of that concept. But it's funny, Painted Park, which is our other concept that's opening right after Painted Pickle, was supposed to be the concept that was our third venture and should have opened in sequential order before Painted Pickle. But the pandemic actually hit, as you know, just was a major disturbance to the entire food and beverage sector, you know, the biggest crisis in the history of the food and beverage industry. No one saw that coming, and we had to do everything in our power to navigate through that extremely challenging time with our existing venues, the Painted Pen and the Painted Duck. And we did everything in our power to focus on making sure we navigated safely to the other side of the pandemic, which fortunately we were able to do. But Painted Park, we had just signed the lease just before the pandemic hit. So obviously we had to put that project on hold and focus on our existing venues until we saw safer times, right? And feeling good about moving forward with another F&B driven concept. So once we made it to the other side of the pandemic. We knew that that location where Painted Park is, it's on the busiest stretch of the Atlanta Beltline, the East Side Trail, which the Atlanta Beltline is essentially like a pedestrian and kind of like a bike and scooter path. It's non-vehicular, but it's a connecting path that essentially connects all of the busiest in-town neighborhoods throughout Atlanta. And it's, I mean, it's just got thousands of people on it daily traversing this beautiful path. And we've got one of those, I call it beachfront real estate. Atlanta is a landlocked city. We don't have really a major body of water, but the Beltline is kind of like our beachfront, right? It's like our boardwalk without the water. It's just got all of these people up and down the rear of this great trail. And we've got this tremendous location that my family actually used to operate. That was, it's funny, it's going full circle. It was the space that I, my first concept that I was ever the general manager for my father's company, Concentrix Restaurant Group, was this location, Parrish Foods and Goods. But at the time when I was the general manager at that building for about 4 or 5 years for my father's company, the Beltline did not exist. It was just an old railroad corridor that was empty behind our space. So to be able to come full circle and to transition that space into what it's going to be now with that Beltline behind us, we just couldn't be more thrilled. But long story short, yeah, it just was the timing of things. I would never advise when this business, we've always made very targeted efforts to grow at a pace that we were comfortable with, right? We never wanted to have financial ruin looming more than it has to be, right? The F&B sector, as you know, like the failure rates in year one for opening new restaurants and bars. I mean, those are real numbers. Just because we've gone 2 for 2 on Grand Slams with our, you know, the Painted Pin and the Painted Duck never ensures you that you're going to be successful in every concept that you open. So we've been very strategic about kind of making sure from a financial standpoint with having multiple debt services and loans and capital outlay from our, you know, our friends and family group that we raise capital for our new investments. We've always kind of liked having one on the docket at a time. But also on the flip side of that, in this industry, as you know, you either grow or you go, right? Fortunately, in this industry, yes, luckily for us, we have very large establishments and with additional revenue streams besides just food and beverage, our P&Ls and the flow through and EBITDAs look a lot better than just a traditional F&B outlet because we've got, you know, kind of free money flowing through on the bowling side or the gaming side or now the pickleball side of our new venues. So it's, you know, we feel like these are way more sustainable concepts than traditional F&B driven outlets like my family has run their whole lives. So it was just funny, just it was just the timing of things with the pandemic, but then also knowing that, hey, you got to stay relevant in this industry. We've got a winning formula and we're confident in our abilities. Yeah, the pandemic kind of, we lost several years in terms of our growth strategy there. So as much as we never intended to open two concepts back to back, by no means do we feel handicapped or do we feel the pressure that it's going to be harder for us to be as successful. No, we feel like we've got two Grand Slam concepts opening. Painted Pick will open here in the next 3 to 4 weeks. It's 33,000 square feet. My other existing locations, we went from 24,000 square feet at the Painted Pin. We grew to about 26,000 square feet at the Painted Duck. And now we're going for the kill. This is my largest venue to date, 33,500 square feet of just the coolest social gathering spot that we've ever even seen. We've surpassed everything that we've done before, and we need to because people come to expect with our venues, we got to make it even cooler than what we've done before. And we feel like we've done that with Painted Pickle. Yes, we have 8 of the prettiest pickleball, indoor pickleball courts you've ever seen, but we're not a pickleball place with food and beverage, just like I'm not bowling alleys with food and beverage. We're entertainment-driven, food and beverage-focused venues with alternative forms of entertainment. The Painted Pin, it was bowling and gaming. The Painted Duck, it was duck pin bowling and gaming. And now with Painted Pickle, it is entertainment and food and beverage first with 8 of the prettiest pickleball courts that you've ever seen. So I'm not a pickleball place with F&B. There's a big difference. I know that you've probably studied or seen the trajectory of the most popular sport in the United States and a lot of people trying to get into the entertainment aspect of pickleball. But I can tell you, no one has seen what we're about to do. We're definitely the most ambitious pickleball-oriented F&B entertainment-driven concepts in the marketplace that we've seen anywhere in the country. And we're really excited about opening that. So as much as we feel the financial stress of having two concepts on the line with a lot of debt between private equity and friends and family money and just traditional banking debt and loans out, yes, we've got a lot on the line, but in this industry, yeah, and in any industry, you got to go big. If you want to be big, you got to go big. And we've never been bashful about going for the home run, and we've hit two big concepts and we feel like we're about to do it right now. So no, I would not advise to your listeners or to other restaurateurs or bar owners or entertainment entrepreneurs to grow and do things back to back. But we feel like we've built the infrastructure internally. We've got a great leadership team that's been with us since day one that we feel like we're prepared for this moment to not only, we're doubling down right now with just one, but two major entertainment driven F&B concepts back to back. And it's just funny how the timing worked out to no fault of our own with the pandemic, but we feel very confident in our abilities that we're going to be able to execute our vision just because we've done this two times before and we've got our industry kind of down to a science in terms of the entertainment sector. We feel like all you can do is minimize your risks, not necessarily financially, but minimize it in terms of making sure that you've got a great vision, that you have a great execution plan, that you've got a great internal infrastructure and teamwork and team to support you. Because in this industry, teamwork makes the dream work and you're only as good as the leadership team around you. And I feel like we've been building to this moment. We look forward to doubling the size of Painted Hospitality here in 2024.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins. And the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie. And Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's Justin Amick. For more information on Justin and his concepts, visit paintedhospitality.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Kopel. You've been listening to Full Comp.